Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's the father of Pearl. I am Rob Sestradino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. And I'm very excited today because I am back, reunited here on the podcast with the woman who was there with me when we started it all, my showmance. Here she is, the first lady of podcasting, the great Nicole Sestradino. Nicole, how are you?
I am fantastic.
Happy to have you back here with me on a podcast and very excited to talk with you about Survivor Goes On. We actually don't talk too much about the actual Survivor season in our everyday life.
So no, we don't talk about it at all.
Don't talk about it at all. So this show, who knows where this is going to go?
Yeah.
So happy to have you back here. And for the uninitiated, that Nicole and I used to do all of the podcasts together back in 2010 when we, for actually back in 2009, when this wasn't even a thing, nobody was even listening. I just put things up on my Facebook page and I think like 10 people listened to it. And I'm just talking about nonsense.
Like 13 people.
Right. And I would just like interview Nicole about our life.
You already knew the answers.
It wasn't even about anything. It was just like, oh, what did you do today? Yeah. That was a thing. That, you know, I don't know why I thought that was a good idea, but I was bored. I had nothing to do.
Okay, but then it birthed into this.
Sure. But that was like practice. Okay, yeah. But this isn't practice today. We're going to talk about here everything going on after episode number 9 of Survivor Ghost Island. And so Nicole is here with me today, and we are actually closing in. This is almost official. On 15 years of being together, not married,
right?
But 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was the night I voted out Christy from Survivor the Amazon. That was the night that Nicole said that the way that you were able to vote that girl out, that she never even saw anything coming. She said, "This is the man that I want to be in a relationship with."
Yes, that says a lot about me.
You hear that, Jordan Kalish? On that week in Survivor history, yes. 15 years coming up next week.
Is it next week? No, it's in 2 weeks.
I'm already in next week in my mind because mm-hmm. this upcoming week is going to be our big Boston know-it-all. So I'm going to be traveling to Boston for a couple of nights and then back here to do the podcast over the weekend, but very excited about the Boston trip.
Wasn't invited to.
No. Yeah, at one point, Nicole was. And then he
took back the invitation.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? You're going to bring the kids and it's just going to be...
But they're your kids!
It's going to be too much. You have a lot of baggage. So it's too much. I just need to go and get everything done, and very much looking forward to that trip. So Nicole, I know you have been watching the season closely. Thumbs up, thumbs down. You like the season?
I'm liking it. Thumbs up.
Okay.
It's a one.
Yes. Okay. We last heard from you the night that Corinne was here.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of people really liked you and Corinne on that podcast.
Yeah, it's a good banter, the two of us.
Mm-hmm. People feel like Corinne brings out a side of you that they don't get with
just
you and me.
Or maybe I bring out a side of Corinne.
Maybe. Maybe. You guys play off each other very well. Nicole, do you ever think about podcasting in some degree that doesn't involve me?
I never think of it, but I get people throwing ideas at me on some podcasts we should do.
Wait, so listeners of this podcast come to you and say, "Hey, Nicole, I have an idea for a podcast."
I don't even know if they listen.
Cheating on me?
They don't even listen to the show. I got a message the other day from a friend I literally have not spoken to in 10 years. Mm-hmm. And she said that she wanted some advice on how to start a podcast.
Yes. And what did you tell her?
I said, don't.
Okay. But somebody reached out to you. Did they? And they knew you were married to me and they wanted to know, how do you start a podcast?
Yes.
Okay. And you told them, don't do it.
I said, don't.
Yes.
Not everybody should be podcasting.
Yes. Because you've seen what it does to a person and it all is downhill.
And some people, we don't really care what they have to say.
Mm-hmm. Look, well, that was like us when we started.
No, everybody cared.
Okay.
I also get some people throwing out podcast parenting ideas that they want to have. They want to do parenting podcasts.
And what do you say to that?
No one wants wants to hear that.
Some, I think people do that. I do think there is a market for that. Not everybody,
but not these people that are asking.
Yeah.
No one wants to hear what they have to say.
No one wants to hear what they have to say. All right, Nicole. So in the preseason, you and I talked about our picks for the season. You had a lot of takes recently on one of the Patron 5 for 5 podcasts that we do on the Patron podcast feed. You talked about your feeling good about your call on Bradley.
When, yes.
That you were really the first to say that you spotted him as somebody who you would not want to hang out with.
Is that what I said?
I don't know. I'm trying to clean it up, actually.
Yeah, I don't think it was that nice.
Yeah, no, it definitely was not. But I'm trying to clean it up. And then also, you made a prediction that you felt like that Dominic was your winner pick for the season. It's been a minute since you nailed a winner pick. Nicole, how are you feeling about your Dominic pick 9 weeks in?
I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
Okay.
I feel like I am very similar to him.
You are very similar to Dominic.
Yes.
Yes. In what way?
Like when he was voting out Chris and he very loudly said that he was voting Chris out.
Yes. When he, in last week's episode,
yes,
had the Chris Noble vote.
Chris Noble, it's been a pleasure serving you coffee for 22 days.
I feel, yes, like that's something I would have done.
I heard you watching that episode, uh-huh, and then I heard him say, Chris Noble, and then I just heard you cackling. That was that you like that better than the Wendell vote.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
I did.
Even though I thought that the Wendell vote was a very Nicole-esque vote.
I like how Wendell, like, he was just very, like, monotone when he was saying it, and it, mm-hmm, was just, like, very matter-of-fact, like, Chris, you suck, just stop. Mm-hmm. Just stop.
Yes, you liked both of those.
I did, yeah.
You are a big fan of the Wendell and Dominic alliance.
I want to be in their alliance.
You want to be, yes, the third wheel. You want to be Laurel. You want to be Donathan.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you would work with them.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Okay,
for
sure. Well, look, watch out for my winner pick, Kellen. Still in there. This is good. This is going to be a matchup here that I can't think of another season where you and I had both had winner picks that went very far into the game.
They're both very good winner picks.
Yes, we did it. We outdid ourselves this season.
We did. A lot of the times we both suck.
Yeah, a lot of times we're both out before the merge. So.
Or I just win.
So well, I wouldn't say a lot of the times you win.
Majority.
Sometimes you win. Okay. Nicole, actually, speaking of your winner pick, I have a question for you, an email question. Rob and Nicole, does your Dominic share any qualities with Dominic Abate? That's from Eric.
Absolutely not. Anthony, no. On the other hand, yeah.
Yes, yes. Do you want to explain real quick?
It's, Dominic is very sensitive and kind.
He's like his father.
He's also very passive aggressive like his father. Anthony is more like his
mom,
and he's aggressive and mean.
Yes, okay, so there you go. All right, Nicole, we are going to get into all of your feedback questions here this week after the Libster went home. Nicole,
yes,
very disappointed to see the Libster go out.
Were we?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought you were. I thought you were a big fan of Libby. That was Johnny Fairplay.
Was it? He's a fan?
He said that Libby was one of his favorite players this season.
And he makes t-shirt podcasts or podcast t-shirts.
No. Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. Nicole, but before we get into the feedback questions, let me take a moment and thank one of our sponsors. And it's our friends over at eHarmony, Nicole.
Where we met.
Yes. No. not exactly. Not exactly. But if we ever break up, then
I bet we...
Oh, you think that we would get reconnected.
We would
get reconnected.
Yeah.
Okay, that was what I was going to say, too. Yeah, if you're trying to do online dating, chances are you ran into people that don't text you back and dead-end conversations, random matches that don't turn into anything, especially if you listen to the Love Know-It-Alls. You know all about it, but eHarmony has real success stories like Lisa and Mark. They never thought they'd meet somebody online that they were so compatible with, and they're grateful they were able to find each other. I don't know them. They sound like a great couple.
They sound like they're meant to be.
They sound like a great couple. How about Bruce and Lori? Don't settle for anything less, and you two will meet the one that will complete your life.
You complete me.
Who said that, Bruce or Lori? Lori is with two R's.
Oh.
Interestingly enough. eHarmony takes steps that other dating sites don't in order to find you a more compatible match. It's not a hookup site, Nicole. That's a misconception. No. It's the The number one most trusted dating site or app based on a 2018 survey of 1,616 U.S. singles based on a 2018 survey of 1,600 U.S. singles. So right now, our listeners can get a free month with eHarmony. When they sign up for a 3-month subscription, enter the promo code RHAP at checkout. Stop waiting and start your journey to a satisfying, meaningful relationship. It can be fun to play around with online dating apps, but when you're ready to fall in love with someone, have a meaningful relationship, there's one app that's built to bring you real love, eHarmony. Come see how eHarmony can change your life. Go to eHarmony.com and get started and enter the promo code RHAP at checkout to get that free month with a 3-month subscription. Okay, Nicole.
I feel like I wish I lived in a time where online dating.
Why?
Because my liver would have been so much healthier.
Okay. All right. Look, let's not get too. We're talking about Libby. We're talking about don't trust the cute blonde. Yes. Don't trust the cute blonde, Libby. Libby Vincek.
Mm-hmm.
She was unfortunately out of the country this week, did not get to do the circuit of the Survivor exit interviews. She actually, I think, is actually, this is an interesting historical note. She, I believe, is the first player to not do a phone conversation in the entire history that I've been tracking the Survivor exit interviews. There have been people like J.P. Hilsebeck, who last season, I think he spoke with Dalton Ross and spoke to Josh and maybe Gordon Holmes, and then did email with everybody else.
Why didn't he want to?
He had a fire exam test or something like that. He had some sort of training.
Oh, and Russell Hantz was very busy with.
Russell Hantz didn't want to come on with me, but he talked to other people. Yeah. Libby, I believe, is the first person to not do exit press by phone with anyone.
She posted, I don't know if it was an Instagram or she tweeted a picture of her photo shoot that she was doing in London. And she looked very beautiful.
Yes. Okay. So Libby is the answer to a trivia question one day, Nicole.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Nicole, what was your thoughts on Libby going out this week?
I feel like it's been a long time coming, no?
Why?
Why? Because they've been voting for her for weeks.
Yeah. She was just an easy person to get rid of. She just didn't seem to have a connection really with anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was nobody that, like, which is ironic because we saw her with Morgan, who it seemed like that they had a bond early on, and she voted against Morgan at that first tribal council that she went to. But really, nobody seemed to feel super close to her. In fact, that she was talked about as a potential power couple with Michael, and they're voting for each other at this tribal council, and there was no like information shared about, hey, I have the idol, or don't vote for me. So I think he must have known that she was going to be the person to go home if he played his idol.
Yeah, but he probably also didn't want to rock the boat and was like, all right, I got to, you know, I'm already on the bottom.
He must have also felt like, I can't say anything to her because she'll probably rat me out.
Yeah, that's smart.
So good on Michael for not trusting Libby with that information. But it doesn't seem like there was any player in the game who seemed especially close to her at any point. I mean, we saw her. It looked like at one point her and Donathan looked like that they were kind of a pair. And then we saw in last week's episode that Donathan is the one telling Dominic, hey, don't tell Libby anything. She'll go back and tell Chris Noble.
Yeah.
So it just was, she seemed like a person that was never able to really, you know, dig in her heels in this game.
Yeah, and they were saying that
Maybe Jenna, she had something with.
Yeah.
But Jenna has sea bass.
Yeah. With great hair.
Yes. You noticed that too? That it looks like
Seabass. It was so smooth.
Somehow he's like straightened his hair. He had like that. It was supposed to be that Jenna was supposed to give him dreads in his hair. That was like she was supposed to braid his hair. She's supposed to be good at braiding hair. and that somehow he got like some sort of like conditioner reward.
It looked so smooth and no flyaways, no frizz. It was like perfect.
It was pretty amazing. Okay, Nicole, let's get into a voicemail question talking about the game at large. We saw a lot this week about the predicament that Laurel and Donathan, you could call it an opportunity that they're in, that they have this alliance with Wendell and Dominic, and they're in this position where they're being asked, should they leave the safety of that alliance that they're in with Wendell and Dominic and go out on their own, because they need to make a big move ultimately if they want to win the game. So here is Heather G.
Hi, this is Heather from Tempe, Arizona. On the Know-It-Alls, Rob and Steven discussed how now is not the time for Laurel and Donathan to make a move against Wendell, which I agree with because of what would probably happen during the next vote. The tribe would have been 5 original Malolo and 6 original Navidi, and I think Navidi would probably hold strong with Dominic beating the drum for either Laurel or Donathan to go home because of the betrayal. So now probably wasn't the best time for Laurel and Donathan to vote out Wendell. However, when would be the optimal time for them to separate from Wendell and Dom, and who should they be targeting in the meantime? Thanks for taking my question, and I think Phoenix, the home of the great Joel Anderson, would be a perfect destination for the next live know-it-alls.
Wow.
Admittedly, I have no idea if Joel still lives here, but I wanted to impress you. Love you, bae.
What do you think about Phoenix for a live know-it-alls, Nicole?
Rob wants to move to Arizona.
Well, Tyson is there, and I just am trying to look at, I'm looking at the map, and it says, like, where is a place where we could one day own a home? And that's that. Like,
California is very expensive.
Very expensive. It's very expensive. And I look at the map, like, oh, Tyson is there, and it's nice weather. So that's two things to go for. Look, I don't have the answer. Let's talk about Laurel, and enough about us. Okay. Laurel and Donathan, we're trying to talk
when
about.
When is it a good time to flip?
When is it a good time
Never.
For them to flip? Never. So
well,
you say,
because I want Dominic to win.
Well, we have to talk about this from the perspective. The question is not how do you make Dominic
okay,
win.
Okay, but I'm just saying my opinion.
All right. Well, let's talk about it from putting yourself in somebody else's shoes, Nicole. We have to talk about this from the perspective of Laurel and Donathan. If they want to be the people that win the game, when do they end up flipping? I'm sure you have thought this through. I've seen all of your notebooks and the diagrams you've been drawing up of trying to figure out when, and now that it's at the final 11, should Laurel and Donathan switch?
And so I even made my dorkagram.
Yes, sure. Could you share some of your insight with us?
When it comes to math, I'm lost.
Yes. Okay. All right. So I kind of figured that you may not have an answer off the top of your head. So I kind of did some, I looked ahead a little bit in terms of.
So you're the brains of this operation.
Well, look, I'm just trying to be prepared when, you know, I don't want there to be dead air on the podcast. So I went and I tried to look at this. So now, right now, they are at 11 going into this next week's tribal council. They voted at 12 this past week. So they're at 11. And, you know, they're in a tricky spot here because Dominic and Wendell both have idols. So you're in a position where you want to blindside them. And so you can't wait until you get down to 5 because they're going to play an idol there. So presumably if they have their idols left, you won't be able to vote those guys out at final 5.
But do they know that Dominic has an idol? I know they know Wendell has an idol.
Yes. Wendell told Laurel in this episode this week, he has an idol and Dominic has an idol. Dominic also showed Laurel his idol earlier in the season. So
okay,
Laurel knows
remember.
Both of those guys have another idol. So 5 is too late. 6 is tricky. You could start to look at 7, but the tricky thing that's going to happen is that the people that are left at 7, how much control do Laurel and Donathan have in who ends up being left at that point? If it's somebody like Sebastian, who I think if you asked him his plan, I think that he's probably also pretty loyal to Dominic and Wendell, considering that those guys were Navidi, and other than Jenna, I don't know if he has too many other allegiances. Maybe he might be more Kellen than those guys, but I feel like he's pretty cool with those guys, especially Wendell, that he was with Wendell in the previous tribe swap. Remember that Wendell brought the shell to Seabass and they had a bond over that. So I think that it's kind of tricky because based on if we have somebody like Seabass who's still in the game around seven, he may not want to go against those guys. So I kind of think that they need to start to look at the exit ramp at nine. I think that that is probably the right spot because based on who is loyal to Dominic and Wendell, you don't necessarily need to include them in the plan. I'm assuming Michael is going to be gone next. I think that he's probably the most likely person to assume, unless he wins immunity or finds another idol. I think he's probably gone this week. And I think that Desiree might be the next person to go after Michael, that it looks like Desiree is getting antsy coming up. Yeah. And I feel like that's not going to be received well. Mm-hmm. There's too many narcs out there. So I kind of feel like if Michael and Desiree are the next two people to go, even if Seabass is sort of still with Dominic and Wendell and maybe Jenna is by proxy, if Laurel and Donathan can vote with Kellen, Angela, and Chelsea, who are still there, like those three, they would be incentivized to potentially get one of those guys out also. Now, don't forget, Kellen has an extra vote, which might end up making it work at an even number, but they don't know that Kellen has an extra vote. So basically, the long answer, I will say nine.
I concur.
Yes. Yes. Nicole, do you want to talk about your drama with your iPhone this week?
Oh, my God.
Nicole had a rough week this week.
I had a really rough week.
Even rougher than Libby.
Yes. I wasn't in London in a gown in the middle of the street. Mm-hmm. I was stuck in the bathroom with a broken iPhone from a toddler.
Yes. Nicole had the worst thing possible could have happened to Nicole, that she broke her iPhone.
Yes.
And she handed it to me and was just like, hey, my phone's not working.
Fix it.
And I'm like, Nicole, I don't know what happened to this.
Once it hit the floor,
but Nicole had me work on it for like half an hour without giving me the important information that there was a catastrophic fall, a medevac.
It was like it committed suicide. It really just was like, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Get me away from these children. I'm
right.
Done.
Yes.
And it like lunged off the bathroom sink.
Yes. So your iPhone, you think, offed itself?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
It saw Anthony coming and it just like lunged.
Right. Tried to get away from him.
Yeah.
And Nicole without an iPhone was really that you did not want to associate with her. She really took it out on me.
I wasn't nice.
No. But I'm so happy that you recognize that.
Enough about me.
Okay, enough about Nicole. All right, let's talk about what's going on over on Ghost Island, Nicole. I actually have a game for you that I has been...
Oh, good, because I just love games.
Survivor Ghost Island has inspired me, and I have a game for you, Nicole. Are you ready? Are you ready to play our Survivor Ghost Island extravaganza?
It sounds so fun.
Okay. All right, Nicole. So, okay. I know that you are a big fan of games, and this game is kind of complicated. Okay. So I'm going to explain the rules of how we're going to play.
Slowly, please.
Of how we're going to play the game. Okay. Here we go.
I get my own theme music?
Yes. All right, Nicole. Here's how we're going to play the Survivor Ghost Island extravaganza game. First, okay, in these envelopes, I have, can you describe what we have here? I have...
These are very large white envelopes that I use to send out patron perks.
Yes, these envelopes are labeled 1,
I'm gonna take a picture.
2, 3, and 4. Inside the envelopes are instructions on how the game will proceed from here. Inside the envelopes, you may receive instructions on what to do next. It may be a question or it may be a physical challenge.
Better not be.
If you succeed in your task, there is a reward that you will receive. And trust me that if you get the reward, it is something that you will covet.
I'm in.
Do you understand the rules of the game and how this is going to work?
No, but I'll just do it.
Are you excited to play the Survivor Ghost Island extravaganza?
Yes.
All right, Nicole, pick a number of one of the envelopes.
Two.
Number two. Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. You can switch at any point to one
Why
of the other
envelopes.
Why are you
making up rules as you go along?
These are the rules.
Okay.
Number two. Okay. Inside the envelope are instructions, Nicole. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Reach into the envelope and pull out the instructions.
It's not a sea urchin. Okay. Sorry, no game for you.
Okay, that's it.
Can I see the rest?
No, that's it. Look, that's for another guest. And so next time, somebody else gets to play.
I see what you did here.
Look, sometimes you get really excited, you're going to get to play a game, and then, sorry, no game for you.
And sometimes the Survivor gods just don't like you.
Sometimes they don't. Jenna this week got to experience something very similar to you just now, Nicole. Here is Jenna over on Ghost Island asking a similar question to you.
Coming to Ghost Island, that's obviously... You feel like, what's the point if I'm not going to play a game?
Yeah.
What's the point? You got this big pot of rice to yourself.
Yeah, so you think it should just be called Survivor Rice Island.
Survivor, oh my God, I love rice islands.
So if you are a rice lover like yourself, that you would like to go to Ghost Island.
Who doesn't love rice?
Yeah.
And she had that whole pot. Everybody, they get so much food when they're there.
Yeah. I know that the Survivor Ghost Island, it's just, you know, I think people really like seeing the relics. They like seeing the artifacts, but the mechanism of when they're distributed and how I feel like that is just not clicked at all this season.
Right.
Nicole, what do you think of my idea? I've mentioned this here and there, but I'm not sure if it's been on a podcast proper. I like a wheel of advantages, Nicole. What do you think of that? You spin the wheel.
You love wheel spinning.
Yes. Yes. Wheel spinning, some sort of like lotto ping pong ball.
Plinko.
Plinko.
Yes.
I think that there's so many different ways of that. Like, hey, want to play a game of chance? Look, you might lose a turn. You might get bankrupt. You might get Stephen Fishback's advantage. Yes. What do you think? You like that more or less?
Sure.
How about we bring in Yolanda Vega, and she comes out and she's got this. Do you know who that is?
I feel like I know who she is because I'm from Long Island.
Yeah,
not
like,
everybody else is
like
going to know that.
Ping pong balls and it's spinning. I mean, you could bring survivors back.
She was like a celebrity
on
Long Island.
You could bring survivors back to do it. Like, okay, here's Andrea with the drum. Like, okay, she's spinning the thing.
I mean, now you're getting crazy.
Look, I'm just saying that the sky is the limit with this.
Yeah.
And there's
you're
so
turning
many,
this into a circus now.
There's so many more exciting ways we can do this than, sorry, no game for you.
Yeah. Oh, that was a buzzkill all around.
Yes.
Although part of me was kind of happy because it was like it totally suited Jenna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. She's had nothing. She had nothing.
Yeah,
she had long arms and then sea bass and her hair smells like a dead weasel. And that's been the extent of it. Nicole, this week we also had the effing stick end up being played and it was a little anticlimactic. This is what I think they needed to do with the effing
stick.
Have
Eliza come back.
Yeah, well, Eliza's going to be here next week to talk
in
about
the house?
All this. No, she's going to be on the voicemail podcast. She's going to be on the feedback show next week coming up. But I really feel like that when they ended up having that moment where Jeff ends up saying, okay, yes, this is not just a stick anymore. Okay.
He should have dropped the F-bomb.
Yes, he should have. But I think what they needed to do with the stick, and maybe this is a thought for Survivor Ghost Island 2, is that the stick needed to be like Jacob Derwin got the advantage in the first episode and needed to give it to somebody, that they should have had it that, okay, you have gotten on Ghost Island. This is the stick that was from Survivor Micronesia 2007, and then you have to now give it to another player, and it is a immunity idol for them, and you have to burn this note. And so we would have gotten a scene here in Survivor 36 where a player is now, he has a stick, and he needs to give it to another player to make it a real idol and say, I have to give this to you. This is an idol. And then somebody would say, no, it's not. This is an effing stick. Like, no, it's not. It was an effing stick. It wasn't
anymore,
stick, but now it's an idol. Like, no, this is just, and maybe it's somebody who knows that season and maybe it's not. And what do? You trust him? Do you not? And then somebody has to play that. And like, Jeff, I'd like to play this idol. I think it might be just a stick. I don't know. And I think that would have been fun. That would have captured the energy of the effing stick
of Eliza.
Moment.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yes. Totally.
So I kind of feel like that's, they need to, they're almost there with these relics.
They need to consult you on these things.
Look, anybody feel free to take anything I have. That's no need. You don't need to bring me in at any official level here. Mm. I put all this stuff out into the universe. Hopefully, somebody,
do what you want with it.
Yeah, in Australia, in New Zealand, anybody, go have at it. Okay, Nicole, let's talk about the great job that Angela did this week in the immunity challenge.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Nicole, what was your reaction? We haven't really gotten to speak too much about this. What was your reaction to Angela's win this week?
I think it was very similar to everybody's reaction. Like, she just totally swallowed a sea urchin. Not a problem. No big deal. Ain't
sea
no
slug.
Thing. whatever it was.
Yeah.
We all know what it looked like.
No, it was amazing. I watched it back again.
But did she have to, like, at the end, like, be like a crazy person and stick her tongue out? Like, was that necessary?
I don't know. Something came over her.
It, like, she woke up.
She woke up where she got out of, like, this bad marriage with Chris. And all of a sudden, she just, like, really found herself. And really, there was a lot in the episode actually leading up to that. We saw her once Michael spoke to her and started to talk about how he might want to go after Wendell. And then she turned into, ratting out Michael to everybody.
Yeah.
She really, like, something came over her. And listen to her. This is her talking about her plan, which we should have known something was off.
I just want to be the triumph that's holding that sword at the end of the war, and all these casualties are laying down, and
the music,
I'm standing tall and proud because, you know, I made those casualties.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a dark story that she's telling. But we know there is a much more fun side to Angela that we would see at the challenge. This is her in the extended secret scene from the taco hut, Nicole. This is Angela talking about where she is now.
Being separated from Chris is a huge turn for my game. Now I can be myself, and when, like, even in real life, when I go to the clubs or whatever, and I'm out with my friends, I'm like, oh my God, this is the Angela we love.
This was Club Angela that came out in this episode.
Uh-huh. I like it.
Yeah. You
Who
could
knew?
Find her in the club.
that was our song.
Eating a sea slug. So everybody is so impressed with Angela. Nicole, did you listen to my Dr. Mike podcast?
I can imagine how that went.
He was besides himself.
I'm sure.
He was really besides himself about the whole thing.
She is the life of the party.
She is the life of the party. Jeff was so impressed with everything that Angela was doing.
I'm sure every man was impressed.
Yes. This was the call from Jeff Probst.
Yes, and Angela
out of the gate shoves an entire slug down her mouth. Down.
That makes me want to vomit.
So she, just to give you the play-by-play, because I'm watching this, and she ends up, she takes the first one, she ends up swallowing it whole and gets it down. She gets the whole thing down. It's then the second, she tries to with the second one,
mm-hmm.
and she can't get the second one down and has to, like, completely regurgitate it back up.
Angela now is stuck and pulling it back out.
You got it.
I don't know which is more disturbing.
Yeah, it was like in Survivor China when they made a, like, people, like, the locals came and made a feast, and they had, like, a stork that would go and catch fish, but they tied something, like, around its throat so it couldn't swallow the fish, so it ate the fish and then spit the fish back up. And yeah, that's like Angela.
She's the stork.
Yes. Yes. I mean, that it wasn't just that she could fit the sea slug in her mouth. And that wasn't it. That she was able to swallow it whole.
That's so gross.
Like, I mean, forget being popular on the dating scene. She's going to be popular with somebody who's trying to get her to be a mule for drugs, getting them into other countries.
Don't give anybody any ideas. Poor Angela.
The world is her oyster or mother of pearl.
Yeah, it's so
disgusting. Many opportunities are out there for Angela now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Nicole, so many people wanted to talk about Angela this week. Let me play you a voicemail. This one is from Verity.
Hey, Rob. What's up? Verity here. Longtime listener, first time caller. Absolutely love the podcast. Can we talk about Angela for a second? I mean, talk about a coming out party tonight. She was so epic. That sea slug. Ugh. My question is, do you think she showed her cards too early? It seems to me like she could have stayed under the radar for a bit longer and maybe increased her chances to get to the end. Looking forward to hearing what you think. Love you, bae.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Verity. Nicole, do you feel like
it's like a coming up party.
Boy. Did Angela end up showing off her personality too early?
Are we day 28?
I think it's day 25. Yeah, it's like, where was she the whole time?
Yeah, she's late to the party.
Yeah. I just think that she needs.
She's like, she was been at the party and then just got drunk and now is like, ah!
Yeah. No, she's like fun Angela now.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like got this like one time at band camp story, and now all of a sudden she's now like fun, crazy Ange.
What was it about Chris that brought her down?
I don't know.
Well, I think this is the story we should look into. Like,
yeah,
was he like verbally abusive to her?
Angela, don't be like that. Yes. Don't be swallowing things in front of everybody. You're making us look bad.
You can only rap. That's it.
That's it. It's my ideas. That's it. You, I am the front man. You're the backup singer.
Yeah, this is crazy. Like, what did he do to her?
Yeah, so she needed to go solo.
Mm-hmm.
She needed to kick that Chris Noble to the curb, and then she could be her own woman.
And eat a sea slug.
And eat a sea slug like there was no tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How would you do in that challenge, Nicole?
I'd be Wendell. Absolutely.
Okay.
Like, I can't even watch that challenge.
All right. Well, on that note, here is a question. This one is from Nick from Sydney.
Hey, Rob and Nicole. It's Nick from Sydney with a question for Nicole. In previous seasons, the gross food eating challenge has had to be attempted by loved ones. If Rob was to go and play again and made it to the loved ones' visit and you had to take part in that challenge, would you even attempt to eat any of those things or would you just pull a Wendell? Thanks.
I think about this sometimes.
Okay, so hypothetically,
all right, let me get in the zone. Okay. I haven't seen you for how long? Almost a month.
Yeah, almost a month.
Uh-huh.
You haven't seen me. You come out to the beach, and it's like, all right, loved ones, you are going to see. I kind of feel like that the sea slug would not even be the like. I don't think you're getting to the sea slug.
No.
Like, I kind of feel like if we were going to rank the things that you had to get through, I feel like that the eyeball is like, it's almost like the live bug. I feel like that's the last thing that you could do.
No.
Yes.
No.
I don't even know if the mother of pearl, it looked like it was hard for them. It looked like that they were getting grossed out, but I don't really understand. It didn't look especially.
It looked like a clam.
Yeah. Like if you eat oysters, I kind of feel like, well, what's the difference between that and the mother of pearl?
I'm sure it smelled real bad.
Probably, but they didn't really talk about it very much.
Would you eat the eyeball?
I feel like that the eyeball, you could just like pop in your mouth and swallow.
There's
like
no I in team, but one in Rob's mouth.
Yes, okay. Hey, don't use my lines on me. But I kind of feel like I would just be able to do the Angela on the eyeball.
I think I could do that.
Yes, you think you could do that.
I think I would just shove it in my mouth and swallow.
There you go. So
it's my motto.
Yes.
Not really.
Yeah. Okay. So you feel like you've got that.
I feel like All right, I've come all this way. You've
made it to round two. You psyched yourself into it.
I made it all this way. I can eat the eyeball. I'll close my eyes and eat the eyeball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So you talked yourself into it. And then, all right, now it's the live beetle larvae.
No. Done. No.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. That is, no.
Mm-hmm. In the Amazon,
you feel that going down.
Yeah, in the Amazon, we had like really like similar, but like super like tiny, like they were like the size of like a raisin.
And you said that you felt it going down your esophagus.
I don't know.
I remember you saying that.
I could eat I would eat one of those right now. It's like nothing. Well, I'm just saying it's because I'm macho. It's like a cashew. It's like it's like the size of a cashew
that moved and had eyes.
Yeah,
and
they
feet.
Have eyes. I don't know. But these things are real. Like, you know, giant things.
It's like a pet.
Right. It's like a giant, like, orange slice. You know, it was a
what if they were doing tricks?
Right. Now, the sea slug, was it alive or dead?
I don't think it
mattered. It was probably dead.
I don't think it mattered.
It was probably dead. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, Nicole, that everybody was just, was so impressed. But the crazy thing was, like, she was just, like, dancing. Like,
no,
she
the
was
crazy like, thing was the she, excitement in her body as she would
it was
like finish.
Something was like taking over her.
It was like The Exorcist.
And she was like swaying, like she was getting into it, and her tongue was coming out.
And you her think tongue that, was so pointy.
Yes. You think that like a demon took over
yes,
her.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Maybe she is the demon.
No, please don't say that, Nicole. But Sebastian was he was grossed out by the whole thing.
That was gaggerific, bro.
Gaggerific. Did I mention that Jeff Probst was really, really impressed about the whole thing? This was him at the end. Once Angela got both of them down, he says,
"Wow, that was a lot of protein."
Like, that was a weird comment to make.
Well, I bet he was trying to hold back from all the other things he was probably wanting to say.
Like, I feel like you would not cite a macronutrient on any other, like, a wow, that was a lot of carbohydrates. Whoa.
But I'm sure
that's a lot of fat.
What would you have said, like, in that moment? I mean, like, as a man, I'm sure you were like, damn.
Yeah, but what is he, Dr. Mike, in that moment?
Wow. That was a lot of protein.
Come on.
Yeah.
Okay. Nicole, we actually have a lot of stuff. So people felt like this was a great episode for Jeff Probst.
Yes.
People felt like that Jeff Probst we talked about this is not a stick anymore. He had some other lines in this episode. Let's take another voicemail about Jeff during the reward challenge.
Hi, Rob and Nicole. I just want to say, of course, last episode was amazing with the Chris and Dom feud, but this episode, this is what I've been waiting for all season. Last season, it was episode 8. This season, it's episode 9. What am I talking about? I'll tell you. Tacos, burritos, quesadillas, and margaritas. Yes, it is Jeff Probst and his amazing performance in telling the survivors what they are playing for. Last season, it was spaghetti. And this season, he knocked it out of the park with 4 of these Mexican items. And I just want to get your thoughts on how well Jeff Probst is doing this season. As you mentioned before, the stick delivery, everything. So thank you, Rob, and thank you, Nicole. Love you both. Bye.
Okay, thanks so much. So, yes, Jeff Probst was very excited about this week's reward at the Tiki Taco Hut.
Mm-hmm.
Here was Jeff describing what people were going to be playing for this week.
Want to know what you're playing for? The winning 6 will enjoy an afternoon of tacos, burritos, quesadillas, and margaritas.
He seems like he was enjoying that a little too much.
Margarita. Like, when, what is that voice that he's doing? And Angela's like, will there be churros?
No, she's like, will there be eyeballs?
Will there be taquitos? Margaritas. That's how I'm going to say it from now on.
Please don't. Please don't. I can never drink another margarita. Isn't margaritas, while you're already dehydrated, probably not the greatest thing to drink?
I mean, sure, but you could drink some extra water. I don't think anybody's turning down the margarita.
No, I'm sure no one's turning it down, but probably not the best idea.
Okay. Then, Nicole, people were also keying in on something else shady that Jeff said in regards to Chelsea this week, Nicole. So some of the other callers thought that Jeff Probst was being a little shady in this episode in regards to Chelsea. This is a question. This is from the Bath Boy.
Hey, I just wanted to accomplish my goal of participating in this voicemail. I don't know if you caught that in the challenge. That was hilarious. All right, bye.
Okay. As the players were going through in the challenge, Jeff had a moment talking about Chelsea and her participation in the challenge.
Chelsea, fulfilling her goal of participating, now heads back.
And now she has set out a lot of challenges so far this season. Uh-huh. People felt like that was Jeff shading her for just fulfilling her goal of participating in the challenge.
Yeah, that wasn't very nice.
It did seem unusual for, you know, that, yes, a lot of people were just sort of like running through and then trying to get it back to Wendell. But that seemed like especially wordy for her.
It was a little harsh.
Yeah. But almost all of the viewers caught what Jeff had to say to Sebastian this week. Let me bring in this voicemail. This is from Victoria from Baltimore.
Greetings. This is Victoria from Baltimore. Real talk for a second. Did anyone else hear that part in the reward challenge when Jeff said something about Sebastian always being high? Happy 420, guys. Have a good one. Bye.
Yeah, that was a special 420 message. Hashtag Stony Baloney.
Sebastian cannot get it done. He is high every time.
Come on. Yeah. Was that intentional?
I don't think Jeff works that way, but it
works.
You
don't think so? You don't think he's me?
No. Do you think he did it on purpose?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I mean, that seems like, again, a unusual thing to say. Here it is again.
Sebastian cannot get it done. He is high every time.
Come on. I'm sure it was probably like in the back of his mind and it just like came out.
Yeah. Was that like a thing where the editors found that and thought that was hilarious?
It was like gold, boom.
Yes. Okay. We definitely need that.
Yeah.
We definitely need that in there. Okay. Also, we saw that Sebastian was also the person who coined this term this week.
Angela Sea Slug Slugger.
Sea Slug Slugger. Do you like that nickname for Angela?
I can think of a few other ones, but I'm not going to mention them.
Okay. All right. All right, Nicole, let's go ahead and bring in a voicemail. This is from Bob in Tucson, who wants to talk about something very weird that happened this week.
Hey, Rob, what's going on? This is Bob in Tucson, and I really just had a quick question for you about the Chris Noble Ponderosa video, because I thought that was, like, so hilarious, but I went to go watch it the other day, and it's, like, gone, like it never happened. So was I dreaming? Was this real? Also, great job on the Dr. Mike podcast, trying to keep Dr. Mike from going too out of control. Great work. Love the podcast. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Bob in Tucson. Nicole, talk to me about the Chris Noble Ponderosa video.
So I'm curious to know, was he in on the joke?
What do you mean?
Like, does he know that we laugh at him?
I don't know. I think he probably thought that it was silly. I mean,
do you think that he thought it was silly? I think he thought it was very serious.
I mean, there's parts where of the song where he's like holding a tray of salad dressing and talking about bottle service. And so I would say that Chris Noble feels like that he is very much in on the joke, that you are laughing at funny things that he is doing on purpose. If you were to ask Chris Noble about that.
I don't think so.
You don't think that he thinks he's in on it?
No, I don't.
You think that he thinks that everybody is unironically, well, maybe, okay, now we're getting a little too meta, but when he's holding up a tray of salad dressing, talking about bottle service, he thinks that that he is being so funny.
I think that he thinks that he's being funny in that moment, but not in the same funny that we think
he is. Like when they show the jet ski and then they pull back on the jet ski and then he's like, you know, walking away and the workers in Fiji are like, you know, fanning him. I'm sure that he thinks that that is, you know, him being a comic actor.
In my mind, I feel like the producers are like, yeah, yeah, we'll do this and you'll look so cool. And then they're like, haha, and then they pull back and he doesn't know.
Okay. Well, Nicole, let's speak to Bob's question here, because it is an interesting one that we should spend some time talking through, because, you know, I've done some research. We got this question. There's been some conversations going on about all of this, Nicole. And so I want to spend some time talking about this. I went back and I tried to find as much information as I could about what went on here with the Chris Noble Ponderosa video and the rap video, the Noble one. On the night of April 11th, Chris Noble was blindsided by the Levita tribe, and he became the first member of the Survivor Ghost Island jury. Immediately, right after the show ends, a video is posted to CBS.com of the now infamous Chris Noble Ponderosa video. The video becomes an instant classic, the most viral Ponderosa video of all time. The Survivor CBS Twitter account would tweet a link to the video on April 12th. And the following day, on April 13th, they tweeted about it six more times. Okay? But sometime this week, something changed. The Chris Noble Ponderosa video was removed from all of the CBS websites and YouTube channel. And links, I Googled it, links to the video say, now if you click on it, the rap video says, selected video is not available. Check out the related video below instead, and tries to get you to watch other videos.
What are the other videos?
There are other videos on CBS.com. The Ponderosa video has a completely new ending and has been re-uploaded and is now entitled Interview with Chris Noble, the eighth castaway to be voted off of Survivor Ghost Island. This is so weird, right?
Was it a dream?
So my question is, what happened to the Noble One rap video? Noble want it taken down?
No.
Did CBS change its mind about posting it? If so, why did they put it up in the first place? Was the video in violation of some copyright? Did someone's beat get used without permission? Could CBS have been hacked? Chris Noble was told to put the mic down. He was told to put the pen down and use an eraser. Chris Noble never did pick up that eraser, but somebody did. And now the Noble One video has been scrubbed from existence. He was living the dream on Ponderosa. He swung for the fences. I called it Sammy Sosa. Once CBS was the place where this rap song was hosted, now, somehow, it's another relic that's been ghosted. If you have information about the whereabouts of the Noble One rap video, if you think you know what happened, we want to know. We want to get to the bottom of this case if we can. Send any information you have about this to tips@robhasawebsite.com. We're going to see if we can get to the bottom of this. I'm going to see if I can crack this case open.
I think I know what happened.
What happened?
I think CBS was like, we just opened the door for crap.
Do you think that Wendell somehow got a petition going and said that this rap is trash? This rap is garbage.
I bet you he did.
You think that he was partially responsible?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Chris Noble is mad?
Oh, he's furious.
His video got taken down. That was like his biggest thing. I mean, Chris Noble was shown on the Ellen show this week. Do you think that there's something coming up with Ellen that involved the taking the video down?
I don't think that involved taking the video down, but I think that she will definitely have him on the show.
I don't know. This is all, I mean, isn't this crazy?
It is really wacky.
I mean, I don't want to be conspiracy theory guy.
You love it.
No, I don't know. What happened to the Chris Noble video? It was so popular. It was the most popular Ponderosa video that there's ever been. It was iconic.
Yeah.
And it's gone.
Well, hurrah to that.
Yes. Did it ever exist in the first place? Is this a Mandela effect?
My mind is blown.
We all collectively remember there was a Chris Noble Ponderosa video on CBS.com, but yet there is no record of it.
That's kind of crazy.
I mean, it's on other YouTube channels, but it's not on CBS anymore.
Yeah.
They have washed their hands of the Chris Noble rap video.
Yeah.
So it just, it defies explanation.
I think they just don't want to do any more of these nonsense.
They're worried that more people are going to come to Ponderosa with rap tracks.
Yes. With these.
Or horrible stand-up comedy or beat poetry or something.
Any stupid talent.
Yeah.
And talent in quotations.
So you feel like that the Survivor Ponderosa doesn't want to become America's Got Talent.
Got no talent.
America's Got No Talent.
Yeah.
Should there be judges on Ponderosa that then talk about what your talent is when you get to Ponderosa?
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yes. I watched Libby's Ponderosa video this week.
Did she kick a flow?
No. She cooked. She talked about how people just were constantly asking her, please, Libby, post your recipes. And it was all about how that she's so into cooking and recipes. And then she was going to cook for Chris Noble.
Oh, good. That sounds very interesting.
Yeah. Ozzy and Haley cook a meal. It was not.
Yeah.
It was not as good as that one. But isn't that so crazy about the Chris Noble video?
That is really crazy.
I don't know. I want to get to the bottom of this. I mean, I that the only thing
I'm sure you'll crack the case.
Okay. All right. If anybody lets us know, we will keep you anonymous. Tips at robhasawebsite.com is the email address for that. All right.
Rob actually just wrote that down for some weird reason.
Well, what do you think I'm doing here? If I'm not getting to the bottom of this case, who is?
But like, you didn't know your own email address. You had to write it down.
Nicole, don't question my process here of how I run the show.
Yeah.
None of the other guests do that.
Well, they do. They just don't have the, you know what.
Yeah. Okay. Nicole, this is a question for you from Liz B, who writes in to say, my question is for the first lady of podcasting herself. Who do you think is more mature, Rob now or Michael Yerger? Thanks, Liz in Texas.
I would have to say Michael Yerger.
Why? What case is he cracking?
He doesn't care about that nonsense.
He cares.
No, he doesn't.
He cares about some nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah. You really think that?
Michael Yerger is a 50-year-old man in an 18-year-old's body.
Okay, and I'm a 50-year-old...
You're a 12-year-old boy in a 40-year-old man's body.
So you almost feel like that we've had some sort of, like, vice versa?
Maybe you guys got... Yeah. Whoa, my mind is blown.
Yes. Okay. So, but he's like, that doesn't make sense. Like, I don't think he'd be like hosting a podcast if he got switched with me.
It wouldn't be a podcast about reality TV.
I wouldn't be out selling real estate.
What would you be doing?
A bunch of stuff.
Such as one. Name one.
Going to college.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes. Okay. So I don't think this holds. This even remotely holds up, Nicole. I don't think so. Okay. Nicole, I have another voicemail for you. This one is from Ben. Has a question for you, Nicole.
Hi, Rob, Nicole. This is Ben from Calgary. And what I want to know is, what is Nicole's updated babysitting power rankings for the season? Who's first? Who's second? And most importantly, who's last? Thanks. Love you, Baze.
Okay. Nicole, back in our season preview, we talked about, would we let this person babysit the children?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So do you have a new number one on the board of, if you had a babysitting draft, who would it be?
Definitely not Chris Noble, because I feel like Aunt Dominic would be very into this rapping thing.
Oh, you think so?
Yes, and he would be just as not good.
Yes. That might be, you might get sued if you play that too much. Mm-hmm. That could be a thing.
Yeah, it's not.
Is on deck, their hearts flush.
This is so terrible.
Oh, you're real Wendell. Okay. So, all right. So who is the number one babysitter?
I don't know. I feel like Michael Yerger is very responsible.
Very responsible.
But he would be really boring.
Well, how exciting do you need a babysitter?
What is he going to play with them?
I mean, I think he's like an Eagle Scout. I think he's
that's true. He does have the Eagle Scout tattoo, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so he could teach them a thing or two.
Yeah, I think that he'd be like very relatable.
Yeah. Okay. So he's up there.
He's probably
changed my mind.
He's probably,
yeah.
He's probably going to be number one. Though I'll be over my dead body. Is he going to be the Manny?
That could be arranged.
Nicole, and then Angela is up or down, in your
she's
rankings.
Down. She's crazy.
Wow, that was a lot of protein.
What about Seabass? Is he up or down from the preseason?
Like Jeff said, he's always high.
Mm-hmm.
So that might have to be a no. Safety issues.
Stony baloney, eat a bagel, and it's like 11.
All right, so who is dead last then?
I think it might be him.
Seabass.
Yeah.
Seabass might be all the way at the
yeah.
bottom. Of
sorry,
the...
Stony baloney.
Sorry.
That was gaggerific, bro.
You know, Seabass, even though he said it was gaggerific, he was also very impressed by the whole Angela thing, because Jeff asked him about it at Tribal Council, and this is what he had to say.
Angela took a sea slug and just swallowed it.
It was pretty impressive on her part. You know, I'm a seafood entrepreneur, and it's just impressive to see a woman eat a sea slug better than I can.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
That was gaggerific, bro.
So I went back and I watched that Tribal Council again, and I thought that Michael had an interesting quote there from Tribal Council, and Jeff was asking him about, where there's lots of conversation about, when it's time to make moves and stuff like that in the game. But here was something that Michael said.
You know, you can sit on a time bomb for too long, then it might blow up right in your face.
Yeah. If you're sitting on a time bomb, how does it blow up in your face?
It's blowing up in your butt.
Right.
Yeah.
You could sit on a time bomb and it could blow up right in your butt.
Yeah.
But yeah. So Michael is getting he's getting confused.
I was just thinking, what do I prefer?
Yes. What would you prefer, Nicole?
I don't know. There's pros and cons to both.
Yes. And also, you shouldn't sit on a time bomb at all.
If you knew it was a time bomb, why would you sit on it?
That's a terrible idea, yeah. To sit on a time bomb.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a time bomb, you better
run.
Get out of there.
Yeah.
The last thing you should be doing is sitting anywhere, let alone on that time bomb.
Yeah.
And certainly don't put your face anywhere near it.
Really, having second thoughts on this babysitting thing.
Think twice about all that. Okay. Nicole, we are going to get into the Survivor social media. Let me thank another one of our sponsors here today. Let me talk about canvaspeople.com. Canvas People, of course, has been a sponsor of the podcast for some time. Mother's Day is May 13th. So make sure you do not forget about any of the mothers.
Spoil your mother.
So Canvas People has a great offer for you guys that you can get a Canvas People 11x14 photo canvas for free. All you have to do is text the word RHAP to 99000. Let me tell you how you can know that this is a really great offer. Now, normally this is a $69.99 value. Now, it used to be that you could just use the promo code RHAP and do it as many times as you wanted. And I think that Nicole single-handedly got this change. She made so many canvases for free.
They're so good.
On Canvas people. We can only give one away per person.
Sorry, guys.
So now you have to text RHAP to 99000 because they were losing too much money.
Everybody in my family got great gifts.
Yes. Nicole got a canvas photo for everybody. Like, oh, this is so nice. But it was actually Nicole got it for free. You just paid the shipping.
Yeah.
And that's it.
It made me look so good.
Nicole, how easy to do is Canvas people?
Oh, it's so easy. You can do it on your phone.
You can do it on your phone, upload the photo, just pick that 11 by 14 size, text RHAP to that number, 99000, and you will get the code to get your free canvas people. You just pay the shipping. So to get that free canvas, text RHAP to 99000, just pay the shipping. This offer will not last. Text RHAP to 99000. That's RHAP to 99000. Nicole, are you ready to get into the Survivor social media?
I've been waiting an hour for it.
Okay. All right. So here is the Survivor Tweets jingle composed by the great Ryan Elder. And here is Chad Shepard's take on Survivor Tweets.
Tweets, baby, tweets. Survivor Tweets. Nicole no longer loves shoes, yet she still has feet. Tweets.
Yes.
What?
Nicole no longer loves shoes, but she still has feet.
That's what I thought.
Do you like that?
I do. I love it.
Okay. All right. Good job. All right, Nicole, let's talk about what's going on social media. And Libby, I am the Libster. She tweeted, I played Survivor and I made the merch. I saw a side of myself and of life that I never could have dreamed of. It's so frustrating to watch it back, but I'm thankful beyond words, proud of myself for how I played and will never forget this chapter of my life.
Okay.
Libby is very proud of her game. If you watch the Ponderosa video, she talks about how she's very proud of everything she did in the game and that Ponderosa is her reward for playing such a great game and how proud she is of everything she's accomplished.
I would love to go to Ponderosa.
Yeah, no, Ponderosa is nice. Ponderosa is nice. So, yes, so Libby very, very happy with how everything played out. So, at JoeBenji83, he tweeted this week, wait, who got voted out? Weird editing this season, he said.
I was waiting for more.
Yeah, that was it. He said, wait, who got voted out? He didn't even know. And he watched the whole episode.
Just okay. Not the tribal council.
No, he watched it. He was like, but I think he's saying, who is that person?
I get it. I got it.
Okay. Classic Joe. All right, Hannah Shapiro, we talked about this on the...
Did she tweet an apology?
No, she did not. Hannah Shapiro, who came to the... She was on the recap last week.
Uh-huh.
She came through here. And for those of you guys who are not patrons of the podcast, we posted a video of that as a rehapisode of what had happened after the fact. But when Hannah was here, we had a nice, lovely conversation. Love having Hannah on the podcast. She's great
She's
when she comes here.
She's always a great energy.
We had coffee. And we took a picture outside and she must have had like a drop of coffee.
It was more than a drop. It was more.
The coffee cup. And she stumbled back into the house.
She fell up the stair.
Right. And her coffee cup arm like went flying. It was similar to like if Wendell had the slingshot this week and he pulled it back with like a cup of coffee and then sprayed it around the house. That was basically the visual of there was coffee like all across the wall.
The ceiling, the photos, the floor, the door.
Who was more traumatized, you or Dominic?
Dominic was. I was.
Dominic, our kid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And not Doomy Nick.
No. And Nicole was really not thrilled about the whole thing.
I am still cleaning coffee off the walls.
Yes. You like sometimes will like see something and you find like a new, like the spatter was
it was
amazing.
Everywhere.
It was amazing. It was like
you couldn't have done it if you tried.
It was like a crime scene.
Yes. That was how I described it in the video.
It was amazing.
No, it was not amazing. It was not.
It was amazing in that the spray of coffee across the wall and ceiling.
No, it was awful because it also smelled.
It's well, you like coffee.
Not on my furniture.
Yeah. So there may be soon to be implemented a no guest policy in the house. Nicole is weighing whether or not people or if there are guests here at the house that they may not be able to have drinks anymore.
No beverages.
No beverages.
There's going to be a sign: no food or beverages past this point.
Yeah. Nicole's going to give people a sippy cup when they come in.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Hannah did tweet out this week. Nothing about you or the coffee.
Okay.
But she did give a special shout out to everyone who used the hashtag WOM tonight.
Okay.
That's her. That was the nickname she gave to Wendell and Dominic. You two are a Wendell and Dominic stan. Do you like that hashtag WOM?
I feel like we can do better.
Yes. Well, what do you think we should do?
Wendenick.
Wendenick.
Yes.
When... Dinick.
It's better than WOM.
Yeah, because Dominic doesn't really go by Dom
no.
too much.
No.
Yeah. Wendenick.
Oh, I love it.
Wendenick.
I love it.
Okay. Then Cass McEwen at Cass McHugh said, new Mickey Mouse Clubhouse Alliance, check the matching hair. Sebastian, Jenna, Libby, Kellen, Angela, and Chelsea.
I did catch
Nicole,
that,
did
yeah.
you notice that this
I
week?
I did, yeah.
Do you feel like does that speak to you that could that be a potential alliance?
Yes.
Okay. So that's interesting because when people sort of like all do something or they all wear like a neck, we've seen this before.
It seems too obvious though.
It seems too obvious. That's what you would think.
Yeah.
But people do it.
Yeah.
We saw in different seasons of like, oh, everybody got this necklace. So they're together. And then, so
the seems very elementary school.
Elementary school. And then it's also, you needed to have long hair. Like Desiree, I'm sure was probably part of that alliance, but she doesn't have the hair to do it,
so she's out.
But just to note, it was Sebastian, Jenna, Libby, Cal. Well, Libby got voted out,
yeah.
so much for that theory. Sorry
Cass.
I'm sorry. Then Shireen at the Shireen tweeted, is Angela drunk?
No, she's high off of
sea slug. Is there something that's inside the sea slug that you think that?
I think this challenge just ignited a fire in her that has been yearning to burn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just like Club Angela.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can be myself, and when like even in real life, when I go to the clubs or whatever, and I'm out with my friends, I'm like, oh my god, this is the Angela we love.
He's like the bad boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
that always keeps you down.
Yeah, Club Angela is going to be a big hit.
Yes.
Okay.
How old is Angela?
I feel like she's not I think she's like 42.
She looks amazing. Like
she looks amazing.
I do think her skin is so tight and like and perfect. Her arms are perfect. Her body is perfect.
I've seen pictures of her off the island. I feel like that she looks a lot different in real life than she looks on the show.
Does she look better?
Like very striking.
Yeah. You can on the island, I feel like she looks perfect. Like her skin is just so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like I get facials frequently so I can look like that.
Wow. So maybe are you considering a sea slug?
Maybe, is that the answer?
Yes.
Is that the trick?
I'm not even going to go. Look, I spent a lot of time with Dr. Mike the other day.
Is it the protein?
No, come on. Stop. It's too much. It's too much. Too much. Please stay out of the Dr. Mike zone. What? Everybody loves that. Bryce Isaiah, he tweeted out, he's going to be in Boston this week. Maybe a sneak preview for when he's on the feedback show in a couple of weeks. He says, I think I've got my freakiest freak deep throat. So that's a number one contender. So he likes to mix it up.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Then Jervis, he was mentioned in the episode this week about how
I'm sure he loved that.
Jeff Probst talked about how this was the same beetle that Jervis couldn't get down. Jervis tweeted, "This grubs are on steroids."
That was so disgusting.
Yes. And he says, "Why at Jeff Probst got to call my name out like that? Ha ha ha."
Oh, you loved it. Stop it.
Yes. And then he said, "Why Angela trying to kiss everybody after eating that nasty ass chick, keep your lips to yourself."
I'm trying not to say anything.
Randy Bailey said, "OMG, the Ghost Island theme definitely delivered tonight." And I think he was being sarcastic because his next tweet is, "This episode was marginal at best. Time to go to CBS.com and watch the Noble Ones Ponderosa video again so the night will not be a total waste."
Sorry.
Denied. Yeah.
I'm sure that really pissed him off if he did go.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
"Stop rapping. You're trash."
Yeah. They won't let you do it anymore.
Yeah.
So it's
sad.
Yeah, Stephanie Gonzalez. Okay. Brian Cordan said, "Sitting next to E. Orleans when the effing stick is successfully played is fun. Hearing her react to 'This is for Ozzy' is even better. Hashtag F-bomb." We will talk to Eliza next weekend on the podcast.
I'm sure she'll have a lot to say.
Looking forward to that. And then I got some T-Bird tweets also. T-Bird had not been live tweeting every episode this season. She said, "My husband said jealousy took at I and the Lipster out, but I never underestimate a woman's intuition, right?"
Okay.
Yeah. And then she also said, "KS Becto and at Laurel J1, hashtag Survivor Ghost Island, at Michael Yerger, you are gaining speed rapidly. Your performance tonight is a standout. Pulling for you, kid."
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. Well, Jay's always nice.
Always nice.
Like Nick Majorana on Twitter. Yeah, very very polite. There you go, Nicole.
That's it? That's all you got?
That's all I got for you. You wanted more?
I'm ready to go another hour.
Yeah, are you really? Are you really? All right, Nicole. What do you have a hashtag for today's podcast?
Oh, gosh. You know, I give you one and then you shut it down.
No, well, let's try it. What do you have?
Wendenick.
Wendenick? That's what you want
to
go? No.
Why do you ask?
Okay,
why do you ask?
That's fine. Go with Wendenick. There you go. Okay. So you don't want to go with anything about the sea slug slugger?
Well, no. I feel like that was already used.
That was already used. Okay. Yeah. So Wendenick it is. Mm-hmm. So that's Wendinick.
I feel like it should be Enick.
E-N.
I don't know. I'm not a good speller.
Okay. All right. So Wendenick it is.
However you want to spell it.
However you want to spell it. That's what the best way to do a hashtag. Okay. So you could follow at Nicole Sess What on the Twitter.
Yes.
Have you been tweeting about anything interesting recently or just mom stuff?
I don't really tweet mom stuff. No one cares about that. Just kidding. I always do.
Yeah. You tweeted a picture of me today that you talked on Instagram.
Yes, and it went viral.
It went viral. Yes. Nicole took a picture of me. I tried to do a nice thing and clean out the freezer. And I just took all of it because it's like a Jenga game in
there. It is not. I know where everything is.
Take one thing out. You can't even close the door.
That is not even true. Mm-hmm. Stop it. Liar.
Yes. Yes.
I know where everything is in that freezer.
Yes. Okay. All right.
But Rob had to go through the freezer. And by go through it, he had to just throw everything on the floor. And then in the midst of doing that, cooked and left everything on the floor.
Right. Well,
why would I do anything different?
And now everything is, I threw out stuff that was old.
But that wasn't the point. You had food all over the floor.
Okay.
And you left it
and
there.
No, I cleaned it up a moment later.
A moment later, you stopped cleaning cooked chicken and then cleaned it up.
Nicole, I was turning the thing over. What, I can't multitask?
No, you can't.
Come on. Come on. You're being insensitive.
No, you were being a slob.
did I leave the kitchen and leave it like that?
No, but you proceeded to cook a meal.
Nicole, I put chicken in a pan, and then I went back to what I was doing. You like took a picture like in the middle of the tree. Trust the process, Nicole.
There was no process.
Yes, there was a process of me trying to straighten things up. And I hope when I get into that junk drawer in the kitchen that you take a picture of that too. Of that there is a drawer that can't even close.
You act like you were just like the neatest person in
You're
the world.
You're a hoarder. Okay?
I am not
Face
a hoarder.
It. Face it. All right. You don't throw anything out.
I need to throw more out. That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
I know what I'm going to start with.
All right. Well, if anybody after this wants to hear more from Nicole and I on the podcast, you can check us out weekly on the Patreon 5 for 5, where we take questions every week from the patrons, from the Facebook group, talk about whatever's going on in our lives. It's a little bit about the podcast, but mostly about what's going on around here.
It gets a little crazy.
Sometimes. Sometimes. Yeah. Because you know what? Because Nicole will have a story that she will tell me for the first, or she told me one thing in real life, and then,
and then the truth
I
comes
ask
out.
A follow-up question, and then a lot of times she's a lot more truthful on the podcast for some reason than in real life.
Like the panty story?
Yeah, well, okay. here's another thing. Nicole doesn't actually like to talk to me in real life. That's why I have to have her on the podcast, because that she gives me like one word answers if we're not on a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what this is the most she's talked to me since the
I've
last
seen
podcast.
You. I've seen you all day. Yeah. I usually work the weekends.
Yes, yeah. And she just said like I try to talk to her and I say like, you look mad. Are you mad right now?
Your questions are making me mad.
But, you know, why do you look so mad right now? You seem angry.
It's my face.
Yes. No, she says, well, I wasn't mad, but you're asking me if I am mad is making me mad. No,
because you ask like 10 times.
Yes. Because
it's not even just you're asking, it's your face mm-hmm. that's full of fear.
Yes. I'm very fearful because you look like you're upset with something I've done, and I just try to get to the bottom of it.
Not everything is about you.
Not everything
I,
is about
I have two children that are... crazy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, Nicole, thank you for making some time to do the podcast. I'm sure that the listeners appreciate it.
It's always fun.
It's, you know, always, you know, it's nice to have you back here and do it. Like, I was hoping to have you on a couple of shows. Like, what I would love to do is have you back and co-host a show with me and then talk to a guest.
I would love to do that.
Originally, I thought that we should do, like, I wanted to have you on with Dr. Mike. I thought that might help. That might help, you know, keep him on track.
I feel like I get more nervous doing these podcasts
Why?
Now than I used to.
Why?
I don't know. I feel like it's more pressure.
Yeah. Why? Because there's more people listening?
Maybe there's just more people listening.
More people listening.
And people don't know who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy, I'm reading these comments on this picture of that floor, though. I'm a slob, but that scares me. If you took a picture in the middle of what I was doing, like
the bottom line is it shouldn't have been on the floor.
You've never like done two things at once where you're working on a project and then also done something.
The food should not have been on the floor.
It wasn't. It's in packages.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening, especially this last part. I mean, thank you very much for not just turning the whole thing off like 5 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I appreciate
that. And if he did turn it off, screw you.
Okay, well, they're not listening. All right, Nicole, thank you so much. Take care, everybody. We got Wiggle Room coming up on Monday. Are you excited for the wand off, Nicole?
Yes.
Nicole is actually anti-wand off.
I'm not anti-wand off.
Yes.
I wake up in the morning. Mm-hmm. I'm not a morning person. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I hear... is someone who shouldn't be singing.
Who, me?
No.
Other people. You hear a lot of the bad wand
offs. I hear the bad ones.
And you hear them.
And I want to go right back to bed.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Maybe if Nicole was in the right mood, she could get through a wand off. But she's kind of a wand off hater.
I'm not a wand off hater. Some of them I think are good.
Some of them are good. But yeah. Most of them you think.
Not most of them. Just the ones that you play on purpose to piss me off.
All right, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye, guys.